Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to BCE's third quarter 2014 results conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Thane Fotopoulos. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Wayne, and good morning to everyone on the call and the webcast. With me here today, as usual, are George Cope, Bell's President and CEO, as well as Dean Veneselja, our CFO. We released our third quarter results earlier this morning. All the usual information, including the news release, as well as the slide presentation for this call, are available on the BCE website. However, before we begin, I'd like to mention that today's presentation, remarks by both George and Steve, will contain forward-looking statements that represent our expectations as of today and accordingly are subject to change. We do not undertake any obligation to update any forward-looking statement except as may be required by Canadian securities laws. A number of assumptions were made by us in preparing these forward-looking statements, which are subject to risk. Results may differ materially. Except as may be required by Canadian securities laws, we do not undertake any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement. For additional information on such risks and assumptions, please consult BCE's 2013 annual MD&A as updated in our Q1, Q2, and Q3 2014 MD&As, as well as in our news release dated November 6, 2014, announcing our results for the third quarter. All of these are filed with the Canadian Securities Commission and with the SEC and also available on our corporate website. So with that, George, over to you.
Great. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Thane. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. BCE had an excellent quarter. I'm pleased to report that Bell achieved the best combination of financial results and market share results in over a decade. Clearly, the long-term focus on our six strategic imperatives is driving results and paying dividends for our shareholders. Bell adjusted EBITDA growth of 3.4% and margin expansion to 39% drove 10.7% adjusted EPS growth. Accelerating wireless revenue growth and improving market share results versus our largest wireless competitor produced industry-leading double-digit EBITDA growth at Bell Mobility. However, most importantly in the quarter was the strong broadband market share performance, which combined with cost management produced positive wireline EBITDA one quarter ahead of our own internal expectations. Bell Media continued to grow market share, although financial results are clearly beginning to be impacted by the higher content cost. The strong overall financial results combined with the Bell Alliance synergies places the company in an excellent position to continue our consistent dividend growth story in 2015. Let's take a closer look at the wireless results on slide five. Very pleased with the 91,000 postpaid net add additions, as I mentioned, versus our largest wireless competitor. Very strong quarter from an ARPU perspective, up an industry-leading 5.9%. And really what is driving that is the increased usage we are seeing on wireless devices that have converted from HSPA to LTE. We're in fact seeing a 52% increase in customer usage of data for those clients that have migrated from HSPA to LTE. And the positive for investors is only 40% of our base to date have converted to LTE, so clearly that migration will help revenue growth over time. Also, we think adding to our performance was in the middle of August when we, through some spectrum aggregation, increased the LTE speeds on our network by up to 45% across the entire country. And that increase in speed through the aggregation method that we pursued allowed for all current LTE devices to enjoy that additional speed versus our largest competitor who launched something similar but only works on new LTE products. I think it positions us for increased usage across our current LTE base. Also, industry-wide, there was a recent report again confirming that the Canadian wireless industry beats both the U.S. and U.K. in speed and reliability. And once again, from another source, confirming that Canadians do have access to the best wireless networks in the world. Turning to slide six, we had a very strong quarter on the residential side with positive RGU growth in the quarter, driven by excellent internet additions of 50,000, 62,005 TV additions, and a reduction, significant reduction in our loss of local access lines of 26.8% year over year. In fact, we continue to see a slowing in NAS losses on the consumer side from the pull-through of Fibe TV. So the strategy continues, expand the Fibe TV footprint, move the network closer and closer to the home, and putting fiber to locations where it's cost-effective, and the expansion of that footprint, as I mentioned, every quarter, any market we launch, we turn positive RGUs, and as a result, we have enough footprint now that you can see in the quarter. We were positive in the quarter, and of course, helped by the seasonality of the back-to-school marketplace. Turn to slide 7. Very pleased that the Bell Alliance transactions closed. It increased our broadband growth, scale, and operating efficiencies. And that can be seen by the significant net add numbers when you take the two organizations in the quarter. 75,000 IPTV net adds and 64,000 internet adds are big numbers in the Canadian marketplace. And the scale of the broadband business we think will be important going forward. Also, for those that may not recall, Bell Line did have a small regional wireless operation that will be rolled into Bell Mobility. It does add 123,000 postpaid customers, $80 million in service revenue, on par ARPU with our business, but will again add to our EBITDA growth, or EBITDA margins in the wireless side next year, although small. The combination of Bell and Bell Alliance, by the end of this year, we'll have 6 million homes covered with IPTV footprint. Because of the leadership of Karen in Bell Alliance territory with fiber, 2 million of the 6 million homes will have fiber already to them as we continue to market IPTV. Another benefit to remind investors of the integration and acquisition is the improved efficiency of capital spend allocations. I mentioned it before, we won't be investing in duplicate billing systems going forward. And also, we will optimize where we direct our capital for fiber. In some markets, we have very strong satellite market share, and those markets, we won't be accelerating the fiber builds at the pace we would be in markets where the cable operator has strong market share. And finally, we're well on track to exceed our $100 million in combined pre-tax annual OPEX and CAPEX synergies in 2015. I think strategically, I just want to mention to investors that we now have over 3,250,000 internet customers. We think this will be strategically important in the OTT world, particularly if certain content providers make a decision to not distribute their content to all broadband customers. We think that model gets challenged if you don't have access to everyone in the country, and particularly our broadband customer base. Turning to our media assets, our Bell Media continued to lead the market in market share and saw growth in the English to French audience share between the ages of 25 and 54, obviously very important from an advertiser perspective. In the important fall season, the top five most watched programs in the country were actually on CTV. It's the first time in 10 years that we had all top five programs, and they had over 3 million viewers. We also in the quarter rolled out the new TSN lineup expansion of five national feeds, and you can see here on the visual the advantage of having the capability such as for the U.S. Tennis Open, five different matches at the same time. We extended our distribution agreement with HBO to 2018, and you've begun to heard we will be launching a new streaming service with HBO content and other Bell Media content. It will be a streaming service, but with authentication to TV. We think it is a fast and better way to monetize this investment by leveraging the excellent distributions that the BDUs have in Canada, and is a very cost-effective way to get to all Canadians as quickly as possible. So as you hopefully saw yesterday, TELUS has signed up and agreed to distribute this product, and we anticipate, because of the strength of this product, every BDU in the country will have an interest in the distribution of this as we roll it out. It will be a streaming service, but with authentication, leveraging the strength of the BDUs in the country. Also want to remind investors, we did finish the divestiture of the Astral assets. We did well on the sale at a 10 times EBITDA multiple and $766 million in proceeds, including dividends. Our revenue mix continues to improve as gross services were up $163 million in the quarter, or 4.1% year over year. As a result of our strong results in the first three quarters, we now expect for the third consecutive year double-digit wireless EBITDA growth, and that will lead the industry for the third consecutive year in EBITDA growth. And finally, we expect the combined wireline business of Bell Alliance and Bell Canada to generate positive EBITDA growth going forward through into 2015. With that, let me turn it over to Siim.
Thanks, George, and good morning to everyone on the call. I'll begin on slide 11. The third quarter was a very strong quarter for us, with positive trends that I think position us well for the end of the year and for 2015. Service revenue growth at Bell was 2.2% this quarter. That was driven by growth services, which increased 3.7% year over year. This was led by our wireless segment, which saw an acceleration in revenue growth. Wireline residential services also saw a fourth consecutive quarter of positive revenue growth, and Bell Media revenues were stable year over year. Bell's consolidated adjusted EBITDA increased 3.4% this quarter, with a 60 basis point improvement in margin to 39%. Higher adjusted EBITDA drove 10.7% growth in adjusted EPS to 83 cents per share from 75 cents per share in the third quarter of 2013, and an 11.6% increase in free cash flow, which grew to $834 million this quarter. Our statutory EPS for the quarter was 77 cents per share, up 33 cents over last year, and that year-over-year increase was due to the charge we recorded in the third quarter last year for CRTC benefits incurred on the Astral acquisition. Lastly, and consistent with our plan for the second half of the year, capital spending accelerated this quarter as we rolled out fiber to more homes and businesses, as we expanded our 5TV reach, increased our wireless LTE network speeds by up to 45%, and deployed 4G broadband mobile services to more rural communities and small towns across Canada. Overall, we believe our performance this quarter puts us in a great position for the fourth quarter and provides a very strong foundation for sustained growth in 2015. I'll now turn to some of the financial highlights for each of our operating segments. So starting in our wireless segment, service revenue growth increased to 7%, driven by a greater mix of postpaid subscribers in our customer mix, strong data revenue growth, and pricing discipline. Data revenues grew 24% this quarter. This, combined with increased smartphone penetration and higher rate plans, resulted in 5.9% increase in our blended ARPU, which is our strongest ARPU growth rate in more than 7 years. A key highlight of the quarter was wireless adjusted EBITDA, which increased 10.9%, yielding a revenue flow through to adjusted EBITDA of 70%. Wireless posted a strong 1.6 percentage point improvement in service margin to 46.6%. I think that underscores our disciplined focus on profitable postpaid subscriber acquisition and retention spending. With this performance, we have now led the industry in wireless adjusted EBITDA growth in 11 out of the past 12 quarters. Lastly, wireless adjusted EBITDA less CapEx provided a strong contribution to overall free cash flow, increasing just under 10%. So as we head into the seasonally important fourth quarter, our wireless momentum remains very strong. Moving to the wireline segment on slide 13, We've seen steady improvement throughout the course of the year. This quarter, we achieved a bit of a milestone, I'd say, in delivering positive overall wireline service revenue growth, positive adjusted EBITDA growth, and as George covered, positive residential RGU growth. Residential wireline revenue growth of 3.4% was fueled by higher ARPU across our consumer services. TV and internet combined delivered 7.5% higher revenues year over year, while the decline in voice revenues continues to slow with fewer residential NAS line losses over last year. In business wireline, the rate of year-over-year revenue and EBITDA decline in the third quarter was stable compared to the previous quarters. With our improved mix of wireline growth services, wireline adjusted EBITDA increased 1%, and adjusted EBITDA margin in wireline improved 60 basis points to bring our wireline margin to 37.8%. The margin improvement also reflects lower year-over-year product sales, which are low margin. For the fourth quarter, we expect our wireline segment to continue to show year-over-year improvement, delivering positive overall revenue and adjusted EBITDA growth. Turning to slide 14, Bell Media revenues in the third quarter were largely flat year-over-year. Astro is now fully reflected in Bell Media's year-over-year results. Subscriber revenues were down 4.4% on specialty TV rate increases and higher revenue generated. Sorry, subscriber revenues were up 4.4%. As I was about to say, that was on specialty TV rate increases and higher revenue generated from our new TV Everywhere Go products. Advertising revenues that were down 3.5% in the quarter as a result of declines in conventional and sports specialty TV. The advertising market remains soft across the industry. Advertising demand in the third quarter was additionally impacted by spending directed to the broadcast of World Cup soccer. I would note that the rate of Bell Media's advertising revenue decline did improve sequentially in the third quarter over the second quarter of 2014, reflecting the strength of CTV's programming lineup for the current season and higher average viewership levels. Bell Media adjusted EBITDA was down 8.5% in the third quarter due to the higher sports broadcast rights costs, again in line with our expectations. And we expect that increased content costs for sports broadcasting and the continued soft advertising market will continue to pressure Bell Media's performance in the fourth quarter. On adjusted EPS on slide 17, we provided the key components of that. Adjusted EPS was 83 cents per share this quarter, up 10.7% year over year. Higher EBITDA drove 6 cents of EPS growth this quarter. Depreciation and amortization expense for the quarter increased 1 cent over last year on a higher depreciable capital asset base. Net interest expense decreased year over year, reflecting the early redemption of our Series M20 debentures and a lower overall average cost of debt for Bell. I'm pleased to say that with the recent issuance of $1.25 billion in 7-year and 30-year Bell debentures, which we did in the quarter, our average after-tax cost of debt has now decreased to 3.4% with an average term to maturity of about 10 years. We also recognize the mark-to-market loss totaling 2 cents per share this quarter on equity derivative contracts resulting from a decrease in BCE's public share price at the end of the quarter. This was offset by a 2 cent foreign exchange gain on currency hedges, which we entered into to manage the financial exposure on our U.S. dollar capital expenditures. And lastly, tax adjustments contributed 2 cents of EPS in the quarter. That's the same amount as in the third quarter of 2013, and it resulted in an effective tax rate of 25.5% versus our statutory tax rate of about 26.5%. 6.5% for 2014. And I'd say that there's no further tax adjustments that we are anticipating for the fourth quarter. Let's turn to cash flow. Free cash flow generation of $834 million in the quarter was up 11.6% year over year, again, on track with our plan. This reflected adjusted EBITDA growth and an improvement in our working capital position, offset partly by higher planned capital spending, as I discussed, and increased cash taxes consistent with our guidance assumption. Cash interest payments were lower due, as I mentioned, to the early debt redemption and our lower cost of debt. We ended the quarter with over $1.4 billion of cash on the balance sheet, which included the proceeds of our recent debt offering. We continue to maintain significant financial flexibility with access to an additional $3 billion of committed lines of liquidity. As George said, the Bell Line privatization was completed at the end of October. You will have seen that on October 20th, we initiated a debt exchange offer to the holders of Bell Alliant notes for the exchange of those notes for an equivalent principal amount of new notes which would be issued by Bell Canada. The proposed note exchange is part of BCE's objective to achieve a simplified capital structure and to enhance the administrative efficiencies by concentrating all our public debt into Bell as a single issuer. Bell Alliant bondholders' meetings are scheduled for November 14th to vote on those note exchange offers. So in closing, we've now seen three quarters of good growth in consolidated financial performance, and we are tracking to deliver on all the guidance targets that we provided for the full 2014 year. There's no fundamental changes in our outlook. We remain competitively well-positioned. Our performance momentum is growing in our wireless and wireline segments as we enter the fourth quarter. So we expect no impact to 2014 financial guidance from the Bell Alliant privatization. With the full ownership of Bell Alliant as of November 1st, BCE's free cash flow will include 100% of Bell Alliant's free cash flow rather than the cash dividends that we would otherwise have received from Bell Alliant. That difference is very nominal. There will be no changes to our segmented reporting for the fourth quarter, but starting in the first quarter of 2015, we will begin to reflect Bell Alliant's operating results within our respective wireline and wireless segments, and accordingly, Bell Alliant will cease to be a standalone reporting segment of BCE. And we expect Bell Alliant to become accretive to our earnings and free cash flow in 2015, which will support BCE's strategic imperatives and our dividend growth model. On slide 18, you should note that with the Bell Line privatization transaction now completed, the non-controlling interest of BCE is expected to be approximately $60 million lower for the full year, reflecting our 100% ownership of Bell Line. As well, though, the average number of outstanding BCE common shares for 2014 will increase to approximately 794 million shares due to the issuance of 61 million new BCE common shares as part of the consideration on the Bell Line privatization. So those are really offsetting impacts, as a result, our adjusted EPS guidance range for 2014 remains unchanged. So with that, I'll turn the call back over to Thane and the operator to begin the Q&A part of the call.
Great. Thanks, team. So we are ready to begin the Q&A session. So Wayne, can you please explain the polling instructions to the participants?
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You may at all times cancel your question by pressing the pound key. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Philip Huang from Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, guys, and congrats on the solid results. I have first question on wireline. So with EBITDA turning the corner this quarter and margin expanding again, what would be a sustainable long-term assumption for wireline margins, particularly as we take the added scale from Bell Alliant into consideration now? And the second question on wireless, was wondering if you guys could provide us any sort of stats on the percentage of your postpaid subscribers that are now on LTE, and whether there are any stats that you might have on data usage for LTE versus non-LTE subscribers. I'm just trying to assess the average lift ARPU from the move towards LTE. Thanks.
Yeah, happy to do that. Let me deal with the LTE first of all. About 40% of our postpaid base is currently on LTE. So that's the first. In terms of usage, I mentioned we're seeing about a 52% increase in customers who migrate from HSPA to LTE. I think we're seeing about 1.4 gigabits of data per month versus 923 megabits is what we were seeing on HSPA. So about, if you can see the math there. And I think about roughly about 35% of the traffic's video on our LTE data traffic. And so what that's doing is it's driving increased usage. So it's not pricing in Canada that's moving ARPU. It's just, it's obviously the products do more than they did before, and that's what's driving the ARPU. On the wireline side, our margin will expand next year because of the integration of Bell Alliance and Bell wireline business. But what we would probably prefer to do is when we come back to guidance, there'll probably be some implied margin in that for you to be able to take a look at. But I don't want to quote a number nor to seem this morning until we get the two companies together and come back next year with that. But other than to say that clearly with the synergies and some momentum, we are comfortable talking about having positive EBITDA on wireline next year. The range of that number we'll come back to in February.
Got it. Yep. And fair to say that the so it sounds like there's potential upside to the $100 million target in terms of synergies for to Bell Alliance. Is that fair?
There won't be downside to it.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The following question is from Richard Choi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Just to follow up on that question, are you seeing any significant ARPU pull-through when you see the customers go from LTE or HSPA to LTE? And then also in terms of service revenue accelerating in the quarter, fourth quarter last year looks like it's an easy comp. Could we say accelerate through this year? And what could we expect going forward?
Yeah, so I want to be a little careful on guidance. We're really obviously pleased with the quarter. We are clearly seeing by those usage data, assuming that the products are priced equivalent, HSPA, LTE, we're clearly seeing a higher ARPU now. And in fairness of that, as the analysts would know, the early adopters of the newest technology can also sometimes be the heaviest users. So as the entire base migrates, you probably wouldn't see that pace of growth. But having said that, with the enhanced speed on LTE and the quality of video, which quite frankly is almost unbelievable in terms of the quality you're seeing that people can get, I think we are going to see the increased usage. And so we, you know, we've seen ARPU improve year over year. We'd expect an improvement again in Q4 over last year's Q4. But we'll wait for 15 when we give guidance.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Devai Ghosh from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, George. Lots of positives in the quarter. Let me talk about the one you highlighted, which is a really strong broadband growth. If you look across the board, your broadband net additions were up 39%, Quebecor's were up 31%, Telus is up 16%, Bell Alliance were up 27%. What is driving all this massive growth? Because I thought this was a relatively highly penetrated segment.
Yeah, it's good. Devai, thanks for the comments. A couple of things. You know, clearly we're seeing when we pull a customer through on Fibe TV, as is our Bell Alliance, when they get a customer on their fiber TV product, we get a pull-through of internet, and that's been the strategy. So from our perspective, I think you'll see that we probably moved the market share needle in our quarter in all of our regions. I would say the results this morning in the province of Quebec between ourselves and Videotron, I think does show there must be clearly some strong growth overall. And in the TV business, something tells me we may see, where there's some cord shaving everywhere, there's some cord cutting, probably much less cord cutting in the province of Quebec. Maybe that's what's driving the combined RGU numbers for the companies. But on the broadband, I think in our case, the numbers should show some market share, I think, the buy.
Yeah, and I was wondering if you have an estimate, because clearly it would appear that you gained market share from Rogers. The Quebec one numbers were strong, as you alluded to, but the Rogers, I think they were quite flat in terms of their internet additions. Do you have any sort of market share estimate?
No, other than to say that we're as pleased with Quebec's results as we are in Ontario, and of course we compete with more than one carrier than those two carriers in footprint. I mean, there's a third one as well that we compete with. And this morning's numbers on the two make us feel better about the whole province of Quebec, quite frankly, because we probably would have thought with our results it might have been a little different. So clearly there's some additive household growth going on in the province.
That's fair. One last one on the same topic, if I may. The CRTC is about to launch its third review of the fall, which is on broadband. Are you expecting anything meaningful there? I mean, I find it interesting that some of your cable competitors want cost-based access to your wireless networks. Do you think that they will have to offer cost-based access to their broadband networks?
Well, I mean, that the hearing is coming up. It's a wholesale review on the wireline side. The position on that is in a number of other geographies around the world when people have taken shareholders' capital risks and built fiber right to the home. But that network, of course, has been proprietary for the network company that's invested the shareholders' money in that. So at the hearing, the discussion will be whether or not wholesale access to fiber to the home is on the agenda or not. And our position will be very clear that if other people want to build fiber to the home, go right ahead. But we're clearly building our network for our customers and our shareholders, and that'll be our position. And that's consistent with the regulatory regime in the U.S. And we're going to look for, hopefully, to see that as a consistent regulatory regime in Canada when we build fiber to homes.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The following question is from Jeff Fan from Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, and again, good quarter. A couple of questions. One on the wireline, and again, follow through on the broadband. George, you mentioned really good attach rates from Fi TV onto the internet. I'm just wondering, looking ahead, do you think Fi TV is really fundamental to pulling through the Fi internet, or is there a point in time where you think the Fi internet service can stand alone to still continue to show that kind of share gain? And then the second question is on wireless CapEx intensity. You guys are doing a really good job of really just managing that at 10% CapEx intensity year to date. Your partner is seeing a bit of a CapEx intensity increase. Part of it may be due to wireless. I'm just wondering, is there anything that you can talk about structurally and in a network sharing deal why your partner is seeing an increase? Is it the relative spectrum contribution you bring to the sharing? Is there anything that you think you're doing differently that can help us understand why that may be different? Thanks.
Yeah, okay. Let me answer the second one first. I got to go back to the
wireless.
So the first one was on
broadband.
Yeah. So on the wireless side, I don't want to comment on our competitors' CapEx other than I would say our footprint growth that we're building out nationally is got a proportionately higher rural component for 700, whereas the network we utilize has been ahead on that build because it's done more urban with some different spectrum in order to access for LTE aggregation. So I would expect that to normalize out is what I expect. And we've normally talked about 10 to 12% capital intensity. And, our goal next year is to finish, all the rural markets as we can with 700. So I would anticipate you might see a bump in ours, although we'll keep our overall capital intensity in line with what the street expects. And I can't comment on the other carrier other than that may be the difference on that one. And I'm sorry, the first question was? Oh, yes. And look, on our strategy, you know, our strategy will be to continue to execute the IPTV footprint to as much of the geography as we can afford to do, and then continue to move closer and closer to the home with fiber, with, you know, significant amount of fiber overlay where we have aerial plant, and continue to execute on that basis. We think the internet product stands on its own, but it's very clear that our TV product is the leader in the marketplace, differentiated what customers expect from an IP application, and with the products we're going to roll out on the streaming side combined with it, we, you know, we're going to continue to compete aggressively for both the video and the broadband customer. So we think it continues to be attached.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The following question is from Craig McDonald from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and good morning, guys. So we've seen a number of players in the industry, some in the U.S., some in Canada, show weaker industry results for TV advertising on the media side. Your media seems fine on the revenue line, flat-ish year over year. I'm wondering if you could give us a little more detail on whether this is a tale of a stronger TSN relative to the CTV and specialty channels in terms of ad trends, or is it relatively evenly based? Are you bucking the trend or are you not, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, we know we're taking share. We think part of it was clearly the strong fall lineup we've had on CTV, where for the first time in 10 years, all top five shows that Canadians are viewing are on our network, and the viewership numbers were high. So, you know, if Kevin were here with me, he would tell you that the ad market is not an easy market. We are taking market share, and the challenge for us in the media business into 15, we think probably is driven more by the content costs that we've seen rise on the sports side. And also, you know, for our shareholders on the line, the investors, we've made a strategic decision to invest in the HBO library from a streaming perspective, and that's a conscious strategic investment we will make, which will have an impact on the media business's EBITDA next year, but absolutely is the right thing to do strategically because it's what Canadians are telling us they want to view and how they want to view, and we want to adjust to that model. So we're making an investment in that content side, and that revenue, of course, will take a while to generate. One of the reasons we're strategically have made the decision to distribute it through the BDUs because of their excellent access to customers and the speed at which we think they can roll out that product effectively in Canada.
Can I ask a quick follow-on, George? There's a lot of debate right now on whether we're actually seeing a material shift of ad spending toward digital or not. I can appreciate the share gains that you've made, but CTV in particular is a product where you get new product every year, right? Are you seeing that shift in ad spend? Is that a risk for you, or do you not consider that a big risk yet?
But no, we definitely, you know, digital spend, there is ad spend shift in our industry. I mean, even within Bell, we have ad spend shift, but it was certainly not material in the quarter, but in a business that's, you know, trying to grow and highly competitive, you know, a point or one point can clearly impact it. So that will continue to be headwinds. You know, our job is to try to monetize digital revenue now in the ad space through our media assets, and that's some of the key things that Kevin Krall, our president of Bell Media, is focused on, and across the multiple platforms and screens as we go forward.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The following question is from Mary Aggie from Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Very nice results, guys. I just wanted to ask you, I mean, over the last 2-3 years, we've seen TV additions surpass those of Internet additions, and that reverted this quarter. I was wondering if there were any one-time you mentioned the wholesale additions and happening, helping you in the quarter on the internet side, but can you quantify that and discuss a little bit what caused that that change in trajectory? Because I always thought that TV is really where the selling point is with Fibe TV, and internet was an add-on.
Well, yeah, you've got to remember, we did 62,000 Fibe TV net adds and 50,000 internet ads. So five still pulled through. But our net TV numbers, of course, are impacted by the satellite reduction that we're seeing. And the migrations to satellite to our IPTV continue to be about 15 to 18% of our net ads are coming off of our own satellite business. We are seeing, and we'll have more clarity on that, we put Bell and Bell Alliance together, you know, how much of the 14,000 or so IPTV subs that Bell Alliance added in the quarter were migrated from satellite, and we'll be able to share some of that next year. So that's why you've seen the difference in the two numbers. But if you kind of just pull out satellite, Five TV did outgrow internet net ads.
And just a follow up on that, when you look at the success you're having on the internet side with Five, do you feel you could be well helped by maybe increasing the penetration or the deployment of fiber? Are there potential to operationally, I mean, not financially, but operationally, could you deploy fiber faster in your marketplace so that you can garner more of that market share gain, you know, gains that you're having right now in more areas of your territory?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the reasons for the consolidation of Bell Alliance and Bell and Karen's and the results we've seen. We'll talk about it in 15, but investors can expect us to accelerate fiber, the pace of fiber in our Ontario Quebec footprints. In particular, we have strong aerial plants. The economics are compelling, and we'll do that all within our CapEx window next year of the same consistent C to I that you've seen us run on the last 5-6 years. So we'll get into guidance. But I also want to make sure if I say that, we don't have people going, oh, there's a big capital number next year that isn't in our numbers, and it is. But part of that's, Bell Alliance had finished its fiber build, so they're really doing a demand capital expenditures next year based on subscribers. So we can reallocate that capital and deploy it in Ontario and Quebec for fiber, given that they had matured out on their fiber footprint. So, yeah, we think accelerating that. We see it in the recent report where, you know, even on the OTT side, the largest OTT provider in the world ranked our broadband network the best in the country, and we think that's driving some market share.
That's helpful. And just one last question on the margins in wireline. You said that it beat your expectation in the quarter in terms of growth. Is there any, one-time items there that helped on the EBITDA line, and how sustainable is that sequentially going into the fourth quarter?
Yeah, so there's nothing in the quarter that was one-time at all, and as we mentioned, in the fourth quarter, we anticipate positive wireline EBITDA growth, but also caution investors. We've also guided towards our guidance for the year so that analysts will can take our guidance, know we'll be in that range, and know the wireline will be positive. We say we expect wireless for the year to be double digit, and that media will be challenged with the content price increases.
Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Drew McReynolds from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much, and again, congrats on a great quarter. Two questions for me, George. First, just with respect to the issue of wireless industry activity, we've seen better net adds from you and Telus this quarter. Could be at the expense of Rogers, of course, but now we've got the iPhone and a couple of iconic devices back into the market. Just wondering if you're seeing any uptick in industry activity, or is it too early just given where we are relative to Christmas? And then the second question, big picture, with respect to TV Everywhere, we've seen obviously a couple of OTT standalone services be launched. It's great to see your new streaming service to be launched, but it sounds like that'll be part of TV Everywhere. I'm just wondering if the industry overall is still on the same page with respect to TV Everywhere and protecting the current TV ecosystem, or are we seeing a little bit of splintering in terms of strategy here?
Yeah, well, I'll let people assess strategies. I'll come back to that. On the wireless side, I think we do have new handsets for the quarter. I think gross adds for the industry, people on the line know better than I do, but I think on postpaid they were a little better than what we've seen in the previous quarters. And I think part of that is the new handsets. I think we'll see some of that, but we'll have to see in the fourth quarter how it evolves. It's too early yet on the fourth quarter at all to have a feel for that. Activities, competitive intensity is always high, so that hasn't slowed at all in the marketplace. So, you know, hopefully those new devices will help create some momentum in the fourth quarter, but it's too early to tell. And on our, you know, on our new streaming service, it'll be available over the top, but available with authentication because, you know, our plan at the moment is not go around our distribution partners. As I said, there, you know, there are competitors on one side, but they're excellent distributors on another, and we think it's a very quick way to get to the marketplace. And, you know, the product will be unfolded shortly. People will see a content that we believe Canadians will really want. And what we're learning is the way people view content is changing. And which pipe it's over in the end should be irrelevant. And so we're going to leverage the assets that our BDU distributors have and put this product in the marketplace that way. You'll have to let other competitors respond to how they're going to pursue the marketplace. But we think it's core to what we still want to do. And, you know, we're seeing TV growth in our company. I mean, those are big TV numbers between ourselves and Bell Alliance in the quarter at 75,000 TV customers. So across the country, with the right product, Canadians are buying TV services at numbers we have never seen before.
Okay, thanks. George, and maybe just a very quick one for Seem. Could you just update us whether, you know, you see any issue just on the pension solvency, just with the backup and bond yields year to date? And just as you kind of look into next year and maybe a better kind of answer or a better question for Glenn, but as you kind of look at your priority uses of free cash flow, you'll clearly pay down some debt, but just thoughts on an eventual return to a buyback. Any thoughts there? Thanks.
It's a timely question because we have continued to see interest rates, discount rates decline through the course of this year. I'd say that with regard to the Bell Canada defined benefit plans, we continue to be in a very healthy solvency position, over 90%. With the acquisition of Bell Alliance, we also have to consider the valuation position of their plans. Bell Alliance has relied significantly on letters of credit for their funding. We do think that's inefficient, so we are giving some consideration to making a further voluntary advance contribution before the end of the year. We haven't made any decision on that. If we do, it would be principally directed, as I say, towards bolstering the valuation of Bell Alliance plans, and it's certainly would not be of the magnitude of the special contributions that we've made in the past to the Bell Canada plans. And then with respect to normal course issuer bids, that's not something that we're contemplating now. As you know, with the privatization of Bell Alliance, our leverage ratio is slightly above the top end of the range that we would like to be. That we would like to see it in, and therefore, you know, our focus, at least for the next little while, is going to be towards seeing our leverage ratio come down. And, you know, once that happens, we'll turn our attention to opportunities for issuer bids again.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The following question is from Tim Casey from BMO. Please go ahead.
Thanks, George. Could you talk a little bit about what's going on in the wireless market? There's obviously been leadership changes at your competitors, and I guess what I'm asking is how much of the gains do you think are market-driven and how much do you think is reflective of your outperformance? And on your imminent OTT product, do you think of that more as a growth initiative or more of as a defensive initiative to protect your core businesses, including the bundle and your media rights? Thanks.
Well, on the OTT side, we think it's a customer demand issue. You know, we think customers are asking to view media content in a different way, and we're going to address that with a product that we're absolutely convinced will be, frankly, world-leading in terms of the type of content that will be available and meet the requirements that Canadians have. So at first, though, it's an investment in the beginning, and if we're our instincts are right. It's going to be a product that people want from a consumption perspective. Ultimately, we're doing it to obviously drive the financials. Strategically, though, we think it will enhance the TV product of all the BDUs in the country, and also for those who want to stream the product over the top, they'll have the capability to do that, but with a subscription, obviously, to a TV overall service. You know, that's three. On the wireless side, you know, from our perspective, it's really our focus on distribution and network. The significant improvements we've seen in our service metrics on the wireless side and the cost, and so it's a competitive game. And you know, from our perspective, we'll just continue to drive our own execution and let other people's results speak for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Glenn Campbell from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much. So I wanted to revisit the two big positives on the quarter in terms of operating metrics, the strength in wireless, particularly the data, and then the broadband connection. So in the wireless storage, I'm thinking about customers who are getting LTE handsets. I mean, they may be asked to step up to a new plan with a bigger bucket. They might be going on to shared plans, both of which would give them more data to use, and they've now got a better network to use video. As you look at your customer base, do you think it's just demand-driven in terms of, let's say, the ability to use video, or can we attribute some of this growth to the fact that these customers with LTE devices are probably on plans that make it, you know, essentially zero incremental cost beyond their bucket? Do you have a sense of what's driving it there?
Yeah, well, use is number one, without a doubt, because the stats are – we just revealed them this morning in terms of the differences we're seeing, and I'm assuming the other carriers in Canada are seeing that. Secondly, you know, I don't want to dismiss the movement from the 3 to 2 year contract. Of course, you know, had an impact in having to recover some of that impact of subsidizing the phone over 2 years instead of over 3 years because the subsidy amount stayed the same. So as a result, there's certainly been more pricing discipline in our organization around making sure as customers upgrade to shorter-term contracts, we've got to recover that subsidy in 24 months instead of 36. So clearly that's part of it as well in the marketplace. But when we look at it, the proportion of it is the usage. And then finally, if you look at our strategy the last 6 to 7 years, you know, there was a time not many years ago where we were not getting necessarily the leading customer base because our handset lineup and network wasn't where it is today, and we think we're now competing head-to-head with, you know, the other competitors head on, and customers are choosing who are heavy users to migrate back to Bell, and we think that's having an impact on our usage as well.
Okay, thanks. And then those very strong broadband net adds. Are you seeing a shift in terms of the demand so that you're now getting traction in the small business segment? In other words, is some of the strength here because of stronger net adds there, or is this, you know, almost entirely coming on the residential side?
I would say, you know, our SMB business has been stable this year, but this is clearly being driven by the 5 TV pull-through.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you. The following question is from Vince Valentini from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. Sticking with the wireless ARPU, which obviously is very impressive, can you talk about how many of the customers have switched over to the 2-year plans that may have seen a bit of a rate bump, or alternatively, how many of your customers are still on 3-year plans?
I just don't have it at our fingertips. You know, it's probably somewhere between 35% and 45% would have converted, you know, to the 2-year plan, but that's a really rough number, and you know, Spain's certainly happy to have a conversation with you after. It's not it's just not a number that's at our fingertips.
No problem.
But clearly, that's part of what's driving it as well, you know, and I think geography focus for us, as you know, we were stronger historically in, you know, in the province of Quebec and also on the East Coast and the Bell Alliance footprint, and people know we've been trying to execute better in Western Canada, and there are some strong economics there, as people know, and probably, you know, there is a little bit of share there. We're clearly moving the needle against one of our larger competitors, and that's helping.
You just preempted my Part B question there, George, but maybe I'll elaborate a little bit on it. So you've been talking about that, you know, indexing of your customer base for some time, and how week in, sort of you had more prepaid a few years ago, you had maybe less exposure in the corporate market, and certainly the regional disparity. Your ARPU now is ahead of Rogers. The gap with TELUS is pretty narrow now. Do you think that sort of reindexing is largely played out, or do you still think there's more catch-up for Bell?
More catch-up to do. We continue to work it. And, you know, particularly, as I said, outside of Quebec, we're fine, highly competitive marketplace. East Coast, we're fine, but that's where we've had, you know, strong market share. And so our focus for us to move the market share needle has to be almost exactly the opposite of probably what some of our other competitors are trying to do against us. It just happens to be proportionally the higher ARPU markets are the ones where we need to proportionally focus more. And we continue to. It's not dramatic moves, but as the analysts would know, you know, if you move that just slightly, it does help on the accretion of ARPU.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
We have time for one quick last question.
Thank you. The last question is from Rob Goff from Euro Pacific. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Ann. Thank you very much for taking my question. It would be a further question on the wireless. Could you talk to the adoption in your view of big bucket shared data plans on wireless and what that's doing for yourself in the marketplace?
You know, Rob, I apologize. I don't really have something at my fingertips on that. I know in the marketplace we've had to be competitive with that, particularly as people start to move towards some of the shared plans. But you know what? I apologize. I don't have a lot of color I can give you on that top ahead.
Okay, thanks, George. And perhaps if I may then, could I ask, are tablets becoming a bit of a factor in Canada, catching up to the U.S.?
Very small still. There are some small installment plans that you're seeing in Canada, and I think we're all trying to figure out, okay, can we make that happen, migrate some additional usage with the LTE pads. And so there's a little bit in the marketplace, but clearly not at the scale of some of what we're seeing out of the U.S.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, and good quarter.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, so great. Thank you so much this morning for your participation. I will be available for any follow-ups and clarifications throughout the day. So thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference call. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.